5, Ephesians chapter 5, and this time I believe are the children going to be dismissed for the children's Bible hour. So, Ephesians chapter 5. I have been thoroughly rebuked and helped as I have been going through the book of Ephesians. The Word of God, as Brother Patrick mentioned this morning, is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Why? Because it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now, you know, theologians can't figure the difference between the soul and the spirit, but the Word of God can. And it's fascinating to recognize the power of the Word of God. In studying the book of Ephesians, we have come to one of the probably most preached sections that I have heard over the years in the book of Ephesians. And it took us at least a couple years to get there. So, but we see, and I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk, what's the word? Okay, so that means your Bible is open and you're looking at that. So walk circumspectly. And he says, not as fools, but as wise. One commentary I said, follows that everything after here up until chapter 6, verse 9, is a result of that. Walking circumspectly. And how do we do that? We redeem the time, verse 16. Now, we did a whole series of messages in stewardship on the importance of redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, the scripture here is telling us that we need to know God's will. So we have preached several messages of that. And I can't even tell you how often over the 36, 37 years we have been here, we have tried to help us to understand what the will of the Lord is. So I didn't spend much time there in our study of Ephesians. The first word in verse 18 is what? So that's why we see that there seems to be this is part of being circumspect. And being be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So we've just spent four messages on the filling of the Holy Spirit. Five participles, awe ending in ing in your King James Version. Verse 19, speaking, singing, making melody, giving thanks, submitting. Pastor Nathan just recently did a couple of messages on the importance of music. Boy, you need to hear that. It's so important that I want to just get up and preach it again, but I'm not. Thankfully, we have access to prior messages. So if you did not get in on those, you'll want to hear those. Giving thanks, verse 20, I may come back to this in Thanksgiving. I can't tell you how often I have preached on the importance of thankfulness. Your life would be ruined if you are not a thankful person. What Bob Jones Sr. would say, when gratitude dies on a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. And then verse 21, submitting. Now, we're coming to some very culturally difficult verses. Now, I say culturally, not biblically. It's very clear. But we have people who will just say, this is ridiculous, that verse 22, wives are to submit to their husbands. Did your hair stand up when I read that? A different crowd, that would have happened. Verse 1 of chapter 6, children, obey your parents. Well, we like that one. Verse 5 of chapter 6, servants, be obedient to your masters. Oh, no, I got to obey the boss. Now, we'll break that down when we get there. And I'm going to point out some things here. And so, that being the case, we come to this hinge verse in verse 21 of submission. And notice it talks about a submitting yourselves, what's the next? One to another. All right? In the fear of God. So this morning, in introducing verses 22 to chapter 6, verse 9, I felt that we need to understand verse 21. Because if you do not understand verse 21, you'll get husbands, yeah, woman, you got to obey me. Yeah, child, stand up and respect me. Go to work and they treat you like dirt. And it's important that we understand the context of chapter 5, verse 22 through chapter 6, verse 9, because it shows us that submission is not a one-way, one-sided street. It's a two-way street. And we have to understand what that means. And there are a lot of people who will, they'll emphasize the submission to those who are those who are insubordinate to them. But they don't understand what I describe here, and as I've read in different commentaries, describe as mutual submission. Mutual submission. And I think if we can understand this, these other verses will not create such negativity or fear or question. This will help us to understand what God wants from us. So let's begin this. I've got 4 points. They all begin with A. All right? So if you get lost in the trees when I'm preaching, try to follow the overall forest, okay? So, first of all, the action of mutual submission. Okay, let's got to define this. What does it mean? Number two, we want to look at the abuse of mutual submission. The abuse of mutual submission. Thirdly, I want us to consider the atmosphere of mutual submission. What does this look like? And then fourthly, the text shows us the ability for mutual submission. Because I know what some people are going to say. Oh, yeah, it'd be nice if we had a home like that, or a job like that, or a church like that. You know. But, you know, that's out of our realm of possibility. No, there's the ability to do this. So let's look at this. First of all, the action of mutual submission. As I mentioned, this is a participle. It's a verb form. Present, passive, or middle participle, probably middle. And what we see here is what he tells us. He says, submitting yourselves one to another. Now, submission. What is submission? Well, submission is to literally to arrange under. Okay, that's the definition of the word. So I'm arranging myself under someone. It's a military term, meaning to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader. All right? So if one of the best ways I know to illustrate is kind of like chess. How many play chess? All right? So, you have these chess pieces. You have the king arranged as the top. Under the king is the queen. And under the queen are the bishops. And then under that, the knights and the rooks and the pawns. And each one of them are in their proper rank. Or something that I'm constantly trying to figure out, the army, right? So the lowest ranked enlisted man is a what? Private. And I'm not going to go. I had to pull this up on the internet. Two pages of ranks, you know? Then you have, if you move up, you have non-commissioned officers, which would be corporal. And we could go on, and you have the master sergeant. These are all these kind of authorities. You have the commissioned officers. I find interesting, enlisted men who have been there for years have to be under this second lieutenant who just graduated from college. See, I'm talking your language, aren't I? Okay. All right. So you have that. You have captains. You have Joe Willis is a lieutenant colonel. Fulbert. Yeah, he's a colonel. Yeah, he was a lieutenant. Of course, you all have to move up in the ranks here. And then we go all the way to the general of the army. Now, so basically, what you have here is you have this ranking. Now, when it says submitting, it's saying that there is submission. Or there should be a sense in which we rank ourselves under those who are our authorities. All right? For instance, you go to the scripture and you'll see, for instance, you have this ranking of husbands. You have the ranking of parents. You have the ranking of an employer. If you go over to the book of 1 Timothy, now what I'm saying here is not popular in our culture. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11 says, it tells us Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over who? All right. Now these are some rankings that the scripture give. We could talk about in 1 Peter chapter 5, if you go there. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, it tells us in verse 5, the younger are to submit to the elder. So there is a sense of ranking in importance with elderly people as opposed to youth. In our society, youth is the king. Everybody wants the fountain of youth. But we forget that the proverb said, be respectful to those people with gray hair. And we look down on older people in our society. I hope you don't. Especially since I'm getting older. Romans chapter 13. And some of these verses you know, but I want you to see these. It says in chapter 13, verse 1, let every soul be, and here we have this subjection, unto the higher powers. Now there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And if you resist the power, you're resisting God. Now, this is speaking about government authority. So, you have policemen who are in charge. And we are to submit to our governmental authorities. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Now, it tells us here, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And verse 7 of that chapter talks about those who rule over you, which have spoken in you the word of God. So there is a sense in which there is such a thing as pastoral authorities. Now, coming back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21 tells us that we are to be submitting ourselves one to another. So, it says that not only should those in lower rank submit to those in higher rank, but figure this one out. Those in higher rank should submit to those in lower rank. How does that work? So we want to understand what that means. And it's important that we understand. Now let me first of all tell you what it does not mean. It does not mean that God is erasing all authorities, we're all equal. So the policeman pulls you over and he says you were speeding and you say you've got to obey me. Good luck trying that one. My Bible says you are to submit to me. So therefore, I do not have to submit to you. Oh, well, yeah, I do have to submit to you, but you also got to submit to me. And I choose not to get a ticket. No, the policeman must be obeyed. Those who are in higher rank need to be obeyed. So I'm not saying here, and the Bible is not saying that, as one commentary I read suggested, that we're just all equals. Well, that's somewhat true, but it's not true when it comes to rank. You know, try in the game of chess to move around like the queen with one of your pawns. Now, if you know anything about chess, you can't do that. Someone say, foul! That's wrong. No, there's certain ranks. So what it does not mean is that God is erasing all authorities when it says submitting yourselves one to another. Secondly, it does not mean that an authority is better than the person that is a subordinate. So in other words, you can't say, well, I'm better than you because I have higher rank. Now, let me illustrate this. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it tells us in verse 3, I would have you to know that the head of every man is who? Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. That's the part people don't like. And the head of Christ is... So therefore, Jesus is not as good as God the Father. No. Submission has nothing to do with equality as such. So in other words, you are to, as a child... submit to your parent, not because your parents are better than you, but because God has put you in a ranking system. Now, you'll see this, for instance, in Luke chapter 2. The Lord Jesus, if you remember, he had gotten lost, his parents lost him, and he knew where he was. They lost him. And the scripture says that his parents went searching for him. They found him in the temple, right? How many know this story? Okay, I just want to make sure you understand. Found him in the temple. And they said, son, what are you doing? And he said, didn't you know I'd be about my father's business? But it says he willingly submitted himself to them. Now, who was better, Jesus or Joseph and Mary? Jesus was better than Joseph and Mary because Jesus is the Son of God. He was perfect. Joseph and Mary were sinners who needed a Savior. Jesus was the Savior. So my point is, submission has nothing to do with my boss thinks he's better than me. He may think that, but he's not. That policeman is not better than you. So what does it mean? So submitting yourselves one to another. Now, I explain it this way, that those in an authority role should submit to their subordinates by seeking the well-being of their subordinates. In other words, they are looking out for what's best, and they will maybe sometimes surrender their own will, even though they have higher rank, by simply allowing or letting that person have the final say. Now, the other day, so we now have in our home for for the last few days, the buddies. That's Matthew and Rachel's dogs. They are starting to calm down, but they're not there yet. I introduced the buddies to Karis yesterday. I don't, you probably have been there before. So it's interesting. When the buddies are at our home, they're about a year old, and they're just jumping all over you and everything, licking you, putting their tongue in your mouth, everything. And my wife said to me, would you be able to take the dogs out this morning? Now, this was Friday, I think, and I thought, well, if I take the dogs out, I'm going to be late for work. Well, I'm often a little late for work. So I could have easily said, no, woman, I'm the boss. You do it. Give the ultimatum. I could have done that. She would not have appreciated that, but I could have done that. And she started saying, well, why do you say that? Because the Bible says I'm the boss. You're my subordinate. And in doing so, she could have easily submitted to my demands. But I don't always do this, but in this case, I said, well, I'll be a little late. No big deal. Yeah, I'll do that. What did I do? I submitted to her request. Why? Because she's got me wrapped around her finger. She controls me. This is how guys talk sometimes. Your wife said, what? Are they, you know, they used to say they wear the pants in the family, but that's changed. But the point is, I said, yeah, I'll do that. And I did that, and she was so happy. And I was glad she was happy. Now, it's important to understand that submission does not necessarily mean role reversal. It just means that sometimes you're doing something to advance somebody else because you care about them and you love them and you do not treat them like dirt. Now, I say that strong because that's what people do. And they hear a preacher get up and talk about you need to submit to your parents. Well, that brings me to the second point, and this is the abuse of mutual submission. Now, it's interesting that when you go to your Bible, you'll see examples of people who are in authority abusing those under them. If you'll hold your hand in Ephesians and go over to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 34. Now, in Ezekiel 34, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds. You know, he's not talking here about preachers in the sense of what we have in the New Testament, but he's talking about the kings and those who were rulers. And he says, prophesy, are you there? Verse 2, what's the word after prophesy? So this is against them. God is saying, these guys are not doing right. Woe, and into that, toward the end of that verse, woe to the shepherds of Israel that do feed who? Themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? We're told, Verse 3, ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. It's all about me. I'm in control. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither was ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Fellas, some women are broken. They're beat down. And instead of giving healing words, they continue to push them down. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. You haven't sought the lost. See, this is so opposite of Jesus. He went after he left the 99, went after the one. But with force and with cruelty, they've ruled them. And they're scattered because there's no shepherd. It's wonderful when you get to verse 11. God said, now I'm a good shepherd. Jesus says in John chapter 10, I'm a good shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5. You staying with me? I'm trying to move here. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, here, God says something about preachers. This is something I'm always aware of. In verse 2, he tells the preachers, the pastors, feed the flock of God which is among you. Take the oversight thereof. Notice here, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre. It's not what you can get out of them. Don't be, verse 3, being, what's the L word there? Lords over them. But be an example. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Now, coming back to Ephesians, can we go back here? In Ephesians chapter 5, you'll see, for instance, this is why in chapter 5, he says in verse 21, wives submit, but then he says, husbands, sacrifice like Christ sacrificed. And if you don't sacrifice like Christ sacrifices, you are very self-serving. Chapter 6, verse 1, children obey, but yet we see in verse 4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Chapter 5, verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. But in verse 9, but a master is to forbear threatening. In other words, as opposed to being patient with his workers, he's very ruthless and he's cruel and he's threatening them. Now, I found it very interesting. I didn't even spend much time at all. I got on the internet and looked at the abuse of authorities. And when you consider, for instance, homes, here was an article on domestic and family violence. In that, one illustration of a couple, he would rage at me, the wife, or actually in this case it was a girlfriend, he would rage at me for the smallest things because the house wasn't tidy. He began to attack me personally, questioning my mental health. He was taking all the money while he was spending freely. And this was an article actually out of Australia, and it said that in Australia that there is a short distance between a controlling person and homicide. And that 99% of domestic violence, homicide, coercive, controlling behavior was a factor before the horrific final act. You know, and here you have a, in this case, should have been a spouse, but this often happens with spouses. And, you know, children, here's an article here. My dad used fear, guilt, intimidation, blaming, manipulation, to control our whole family. This person giving this testimony said he's poisonous. The kind of person who has you doubting your own perceptions and beliefs. Life with him was a roller coaster, up and down for years and years. He'd rage and snarl one minute and then apologize the next and expect you to forget about it. The constant instability and insecurity eventually rendered me completely numb. He refuses to take responsibility for his behavior and acts like any rift in our relationship is always my fault. I'm trying to forgive him. And they hear a message from some strong authoritarian preacher, obey your parents, when that parent could be sexually abusing them. And it's confusing. Or at work. This article says, a guy at my old company used to make his employees ask before they could use the restroom, and he would time them. And if they were gone longer than 5 minutes, he would add the time up at the end of the week and make it their vacation time. Now, apparently, the guy must have had some people abusing that, but he goes on and says he made everyone late to a meeting stand in the corner for the entire time. And he had others who said anything particularly stupid stand on their chair on a table. How do you like to work for a boss like that? You know, sexual abuse by clergy, you know, this is one of the most pathetic things. Where somebody in a spiritual authority manipulates a counseling and then blames them and says, the scripture says, don't disobey your authority. I have an article here. Authorities charge 5 more in probe of child sexual abuse amongst, and I won't read the religion. It's a cult, by the way. But I know of independent fundamental Baptists who have done that. Elder abuse. You know, there's a point when the elderly cannot take care of themselves and their young people take advantage of that. So, if you are in an authority position and you abuse that authority, not only will you have to answer to God, but don't be surprised when those under your authority flee your abuse. Now, if you're under an authority, you in independence resist that authority in your life, God will judge you as well. God wants you to willingly fall into rank with the calling He's given you. So there is this abuse of mutual submission. What about, thirdly, the atmosphere of mutual submission? You know, this is what we want. You know, what is this atmosphere? What would it look like? Submitting yourselves one to another. And he tells us why you should submit yourselves one to another. In the fear of God. Now, if I had more time this morning, I'd like to develop that word fear. But we don't have time because I want to finish this message. But the word fear ranges in your Bible from terror to reverential awe. And there is a sense in which you ought to think twice before you disobey your holy God. It ought to scare you to death. You know what's wrong with our society today? Our society has no fear of God. No fear. Well, there is a sense in which we're not necessarily scared of God unless we're doing something that would demand Him to deal with us, but we should have an awe-inspiring reverence for God. So this is why there needs to be mutual submission, because God is watching you. This is why, if you look here, for instance, that wives are to submit, but how are the husbands behaving? They're in love, self-sacrificing. Children are to obey, but parents are, verse 4 of chapter 6, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition. What's the rest of that? See, the Lord's watching. The Lord sacrifices. I should sacrifice. I should be like the Lord. I should follow the Lord. And if I am a parent, I should raise my children right. Employers submit. Verse 5, submission of servants. They're doing it as doing the will of God. Verse 6. And then we're told in verse 9 that they're not threatening. Why? Because their master in heaven is watching them. You know, in this kind of an environment, this atmosphere, citizens are obeying the law. And the law, teachers and policemen and authorities are serving the people. In a church context, the members are serving the church, serving the Lord, and the pastors are feeding the flock. That's what it should look like. Serving one another. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. So, if you have a home situation, what does that look like? Well, the dad or the husband is the head of the home, lovingly leading, sacrificing for his family. An example of Christ-likeness. The wife said, man, I can follow someone like that. And children say, you know, that's my dad. That's my mom. We're serving the Lord together. And dad willingly gives the reason why, gives good reasons why their husband and children would want to be in that environment. Now, does that describe your home? Or is there a lot of yelling and degrading comments? Stupid. Shut up. Or is that your kind of home? Or is it one where you are in harmony, working together? Does that describe your job? Or is everybody trying to push everybody else out of the way? Does that describe our church? We're all doing our part. That's the atmosphere of mutual submission. Well, quickly, how do you do that? The ability for mutual submission. Verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. This is a result, and we've been saying this all along, this is a result of the filling of the Holy Spirit. So which means if you do not have a home like that, somebody in your home, maybe all of you in your home, are not filled with the Spirit. Now we have some light bulbs in these lights here. If I turn out all the electricity, they will not work. Will they? All right, so let's just hit the breaker and cut all the lights off. Say, yeah, but I want it to shine. So you flip the switch and shine, shine, and they won't do it. But you put electricity in that, and they'll come on. We're not advocating perfection here. But we are saying that there is a sense in which if we would, instead of being controlled by our fleshly instincts, by the world around us, or by Satan himself, if we would be not controlled by those things, but controlled by God, and if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not by any means fulfill the lust of the flesh. And of course, even as Pastor Nathan pointed out at the beginning of the service, the Lord Jesus was such an example of perfect submission. I don't do anything unless the Father do it, tells me. So, we've seen the action of mutual submission, the abuse of mutual submission, the atmosphere of mutual submission, and the ability for mutual submission. How's it going? Every head bowed, every eye closed. My first question to you is, are you saved? Now, what do I mean by that? That means you have to trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You cannot have the Holy Spirit working in your life and helping you if you are not a born-again believer. And if you are not saved, or if you're listening on the internet and you are not saved, you are going to be a miserable failure spiritually. Now, if you are saved, my question is, are you submitting to those over you and under you? Now, Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to truly know how to best do this. We need your help. We cannot do this alone. Father, help us to be willing servants for Jesus' sake. We're going to have an invitation hymn, and if God is dealing with your heart, come right as soon as the piano plays. Kneel at the altar if you need to. Because if no one does, we'll close the service. But if God is dealing with you, and you need to come, let's stand to our feet as the pianist plays. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, if God is dealing with you, you come. Karis, you look this way. Thank you for your attention. Appreciate your prayers for me as I try to get to Bridgeton, Missouri, is where I'm going. And as I try to get there, so if I don't hang around too long, it's not because I'm just one of those unfriendly preachers that never want to talk to you, but I do need to get on the road. Appreciate your prayers that I would be able to preach the gospel in a very clear and concise way. I have family members that need the Lord. And thank the Lord, my sister's in heaven. She's fought a hard fight, but God has given her grace to go and be with Him. And it is grace. God allows us to leave this world and to be in His presence. Now, Lord, bless us now. Guide and direct us. Be with our Vacation Bible School this week. Be with Pastor Nathan as he carries the burden of this week. And I pray that you would be with all the workers and the teachers. May you get the honor. May you get the glory. For Jesus' sake. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.